Today, we'll have Rachel's Disney World trip with her dad. That's coming up on this episode 180 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 180. So this is another trip report from June. There was a point in May and June where I was doing three interviews a week because obviously for these trip reports, there's two interviews and that was like my full-time job. So I'm still trying to get caught up with all of these interviews that I did. And today it is Rachel who went to Disney World with her dad. Now, before I record these interviews, I don't know anything about the people. It appears on my calendar and I show up at that time and I hit record. And I like it that way now because that way I remember to ask questions and I'm surprised, you know, just like you are. Heather sets up all the interviews and this seems to be working for us. And you'll hear in this interview, when Rachel starts talking and she starts talking about her plans to go to Disney World with her dad, I'm delighted by the plans because they're very different than most trips. And so you'll hear all about how that went for her mid-June trip. So without any further ado, here is Rachel. Welcome to the podcast, Rachel.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to be talking to you. We are talking on Sunday, June 10th, and I assume that you are getting ready to leave on your trip.
Yes, I'm actually packing today.
What are your trip dates?
My trip dates are, we're leaving Tuesday, June 12th, and we're coming back Friday, June, I think that's the 15th.
Okay, so it's a short trip.
Short trip.
All right. How are you getting there? Are you driving, flying?
We are flying.
Mm-hmm. From where? Where do you live?
We live in Tuscaloosa, so we're flying out of Birmingham.
Birmingham. My parents live in Alabama.
Really?
Yeah, but not Birmingham, but they do live in Alabama, so I fly there fairly often.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're flying, but you're close enough that if you wanted to drive, you could, but you just don't have very long. So I assume flying is just a better way to go this time.
Right. I have actually driven that drive many times, but yeah, we decided, you know, getting a flight, it's a short flight and they're pretty easy to come by. They fly out regularly. So we thought, and they're not very expensive. So we thought, let's just do that and save a good bit of time.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. Yeah. So you said you've made that drive many times. So this is not your first trip?
Not my first trip. No. My most recent trip was almost 2 years ago. In the fall of 2016. But growing up, you know, my family went a lot. We probably went about every other year, which is not terribly unusual because we do live within driving distance.
Yeah. Before I started the site, I was an every other year person too. Especially if you're really into it and need a trip plan to, you know, have something to look forward to. Every other year seems like a really doable schedule. But it's not cheap, so it gives you time to save up too.
Exactly. And now that I have kids, that's kind of what my husband and I are doing. Is we went November 2016, and we're planning on going again this fall. So we're kind of on the every other year schedule now, which is fun.
But is this trip different than your normal trips?
Yes, this is a different kind of trip, which is why it's short. Like I said, I grew up going to Disney World a good bit. And when I got older, my family, we've always been park people. So when I got older, we started going to different theme parks that were kind of more roller coaster heavy. And we don't live far from a Six Flags. And so that was just something that my family did specifically. But then me and my dad, especially, were just roller coaster people and have always loved, you know, thrill rides in just in general. And so when I started planning, I have two little kids now. I had one at the time that we were planning my trip 2 years ago. And that's when I discovered your website and, you know, podcast. And after our trip, I still listen to all those things and read a lot of Disney news just because I like to keep up with what's going on. And I started reading about people doing these Disney World challenges, like, or people go to ride all the rides in a day. And this one that appealed to me was the four parks in a day challenge. And I thought, oh my gosh, like that is so right up my alley because it involves a good bit of planning, which I love. And then I just like the idea of an adventure kind of like that. And so my dad is the perfect partner for that because that's so up his alley too. And so, you know, and it seems kind of, I don't know, whimsical or something to just like, let's just plan a trip to Disney World just for that. But, you know, I've kind of been in a seize the moment kind of mood lately. So I thought, let's just do it. So we decided on a couple months ago. And we thought, well, we don't need to go down there just for like a day. That's not practical. So we actually got pretty good flights. Like we'll be down there around noon on Tuesday and we don't fly out till Friday evening. So it's a little bit longer than it sounds, but we'll have two park days. But so that's kind of how this trip all came about. So it's just me and him, which we don't really ever do, just me and him. So I think it's fun.
Okay, so you're traveling with your dad. Are you doing the Parkeology WDW 47 or 48 challenge? Is that what it is?
That's the one with all the rides, isn't it?
Yes.
Like all, yes, we're not doing that. We're doing, there are some websites. I've actually forgotten what website it was I was looking at, but there are some websites that kind of promote this thing. And most people make their own rules as far as what counts as going to the park. Like you can't just go in and turn around and leave. Like that doesn't count. So most people have something like, you know, we're going to take a photo, we're going to ride X number of rides, or we're going to eat a snack, you know, so we're going to do these maybe four things in every park. And that will be when we say, yes, we've been to this park. So we're not trying to ride all the rides. I don't think I know enough to do that. That takes a lot of skill, but the things I came up with are a photo with the park icon, you know, that would be one thing. And then to ride a signature ride in the park. And then to ride one other ride, just something else. And then to do some kind of bonus thing. And that thing could be a third ride, possibly, or a snack, or a show, or just something else. Some people do all forms of Disney transportation, which I don't think is possible for our trip because the boats, I don't think, are running. So we won't worry about that.
But okay, you don't remember the website where you got the like structure for your trip? Offhand,
I don't, because there were a few of them I was looking at, and so I don't. I could probably look it back up and find it, but there were a couple, and people just generally, like, if you kind of Google, like, just look it up on Pinterest or something. There are a lot of people that do this and blog about it, but I could find the website that I was looking at, because one website I looked at had a lot of plans, very detailed plans that I don't want to attempt, but they give you good ideas for kind of a way to craft your own plan.
Yeah, if you email me that link, I'll include it in the show notes for when this goes up.
I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with all of these different plans and websites, so I'll be curious to read them.
Yeah.
So that's fun, and I love that you're going with just your dad. I think that when you get into this age range, your parents are not super young anymore, but they're also not, you know, too old to go to the theme park. So it's kind of fun to take advantage while they're still active and can do stuff with you.
Exactly. That was part of my motivation.
Yes, I totally love that. Okay, so where are you guys staying on this trip?
We're staying at Pop Century.
Have you ever stayed there before?
I did. Yeah, I have stayed there before. I like it.
I think you're going to like it more this time because I was just there in April and I thought it was even better than before. And I stayed there a million times. So hopefully you and your dad will like it just as much.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a very untraditional trip. So did you, while you're in the parks, do you have fast passes or dining reservations?
We do not have any dining reservations for our park days, but I did book fast passes, and that was actually, I went back and forth on these fast passes for a while because we're starting with Animal Kingdom because it opens at 8 o'clock that day, and we're ending at Magic Kingdom because it closes at midnight. And then just geographically, it makes the most sense to go to Hollywood Studios second and Epcot third. And so I didn't really think it made sense to do my fast passes for Animal Kingdom, because I thought if we get there right when it opens, then we shouldn't need them. So I booked them for Hollywood Studios since that was our second park. And then I'm hoping to just book as we go. Like, once I use those, then we can book them for Epcot, and then we can book them for Magic Kingdom. But of course, all of that is very up in the air.
Yeah, you never know, I guess, yep. when with those bonus ones. But right. You should be able to snag a few, I would think.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Summer's not as busy as it used to be. So I'll look forward to when you get back hearing how it went, because that's usually a really good indicator of the crowds. Like, how many bonus fast passes can you get?
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, I'll be curious. That was one thing that made – I thought this was going to be – where I could just plan out every detail, and it really, you can't, because you don't know what's going to happen when you get to the next park. So I kind of have a framework of what I think we might do with a lot of options. Like, if this doesn't work, then we'll try this and that kind of thing. Cause I know there's no way it's going to go according to exactly what I have in my head. It's just, there's too many variables.
And really, that's probably true of any trip, but especially yours when you're trying to accomplish so much in a short time.
Right.
That makes sense. Okay. Is there anything that you have planned for this trip that we haven't talked about?
Yes, a little bit. The last trip I took before the one 2 years ago without kids was in 2009. And so I've taken two trips with our daughter, me, my husband, and our daughter, but we very much geared those trips around her. And so we haven't, I've never ridden Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and I haven't ridden the large, you know, big rides in probably since 2009. And so I'm looking at this as an opportunity to do things that you wouldn't normally do with little kids. Mm-hmm. And so on our last day, like, we're going to go to one of the miniature golf courses, which I've never done before in all the times I've been to Disney World. And so I think that'll be fun. And we're doing the Fantasia one because it's right near the boardwalk, which I've also never been to. And so I made a reservation at the ESPN restaurant because my dad likes that. And so my thought is we could go over there and play the miniature golf, and then maybe go over to the boardwalk and eat and walk around before it's time to, we're taking the Magical Express, so before it's time to take that back home. So I'm looking forward to that because that'll be something kind of different. And the day we get there, it's nothing super unique. We're going to Disney Springs and we'll eat and we'll try to get back, you know, early, since we'll have an early start the next day.
And so you were last there about a year and a half ago. So you have, you may have seen Disney Springs in its sort of newest form, but it's always changing too. So
yes. And our daughter at the time, that would not have been her idea of fun, would be go walk around there. So we didn't go. She'd probably enjoy it more now that she's a little older, but I'm looking forward to just seeing what's changed and, you know, maybe trying a new restaurant and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun, especially if you've never seen some things. Every trip, there's a chance to see something new, even if you've been going for a long time.
Right.
So. It always stays interesting. Okay, well, that sounds really fun to me, and I can't wait to talk to you and see how it went. I really love the challenges that I have heard about. I really love following on Twitter, so I'll be interested to hear how it worked out for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I don't really know exactly what to expect, but we're in it for the long haul. Like, we're in it from the 8 o'clock in the morning to whenever we can't stand it anymore at Magic Kingdom. But I think it's going to be fun. And then Thursday is our second park day. And since we've already had the park hoppers, we're just going to kind of go back. I do have some fast passes at Magic Kingdom for that day, but we're just going to go back and say, hey, you know, I want to ride that again. And I don't know. We're just going to play it by ear.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So enjoy your trip, and can't wait to hear about it when you get back. Welcome back from your trip, Rachel.
Thank you.
All right. So you and I are speaking on Sunday, June 17th, which happens to be Father's Day.
Yes.
So I think the fact that you went on a trip with your dad the week of Father's Day seems fitting.
Yeah, it's very appropriate.
All right. So last we talked, you told us that you were going to be there June 12th to 15th for a short trip with your dad. And you were starting by flying from Birmingham. So did the the trip there, did it go fine?
Yes, absolutely. The plane took off and landed right when it was supposed to. We didn't have any delays or anything. We got to Orlando about 11:30 local time in Orlando.
Good. And I'm happy about that because you had a short trip. So if there had been any delays or issues, then it would have cut into some of your plans that you had made.
Yes, it would have been a much bigger deal.
It would have been because you might have even missed out on about, you know, a few hours or half a day. So you told us beforehand that you were going to go to Disney Springs on your arrival day. So take us through what you did when you got there.
Okay. We took Magical Express to Pop Century. That went great. And we ended up eating lunch at Pop Century and left for Disney Springs about, I don't know, 2:30 or something like that. And we just kind of walked around in Disney Springs, went to a few stores I've been wanting to go to. We went to the toy store, Once Upon a Toy, mm-hmm. and they don't have the Mr. Potato Head anymore. I didn't mm-hmm. know that. I was disappointed, but that was okay. And then we ended up, it rained every day of our trip. And so the first rain was while we were at Disney Springs, and we were just kind of sitting at a table under an umbrella when it started raining. So we just, that worked out okay. We just stayed there till it passed. And we went to dinner at Planet Hollywood about 5, mm-hmm. and which I think must be when they start serving dinner upstairs, because they took us upstairs and told us that we had the best seat in the house. And which was right on the edge of the balcony, mm-hmm. Looking right at the screen. So we had more than one person tell us that was the best seat in the house. So
I think I've sat there before.
Yeah.
Because I actually did a media dine one time, which means they pay for it and they treat you, you know, extra well because they want to impress yeah. you. And so right. they had picked that table for us. And it is a good seat.
It is.
You can yeah, see everything.
Sit side by side and
yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty neat. That was a neat way to get started.
Did you like Planet Hollywood overall?
I did. We had eaten there before years ago and weren't crazy about it, but I had heard you talk about it on your podcast about how great it was, and I thought, well, let's just give it a shot. And so we both really liked what we had.
Yeah, so, it's kind of, I mean, there's so many good places to eat in Disney Springs, but I'm like you. I didn't really like it in the old version, but this one I think it's hard to miss with especially if you have a group with wide interests, because they have such good appetizers and drinks and stuff like that.
Yes. Yes. What I had was so good. It was big and I couldn't finish it, but it was delicious.
Yeah.
And once we got done there, we just headed back. We didn't want to stay out late or anything, you know, since we were getting up early the next day. So we just kind of finalized our plans back at the hotel and just got ready for the next day.
What were your thoughts about Pop Century?
I really liked it. I stayed there about a year and a half ago in the old rooms and still really liked it. But the refurbished rooms, they're great. I feel like it's such a good use of space.
Yeah, they're great. And they're cute.
Mm-hmm. They really are.
Yeah, but clean. Like, everything's very clean and organized and fresh. And I don't know. I feel the same way as you. I did not dislike it before, but I just mm-mm. really like it now. So
yeah. Yeah, I felt like if you had kids, because we were... When I traveled before, we had my daughter, and I felt like we would have had more space in the refurbished room, because there just seemed to be more storage, and, you know, the bed that folds up is convenient, and I was a big fan of that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the ability to fold the bed up certainly does help, but the beds are queen as opposed to double, so when the beds are both out, you actually have less square footage, you know?
Yes.
But you do have the option to put it up, and there is a lot more storage, so it's the way the space is used, I think, that makes it work a lot better.
Yes, I thought the same thing.
Okay, good. I'm glad you liked it.
Yes.
So you're back at the hotel and you're planning for your 4 parks in one day, right? Which was the next
right.
day. And
right.
So you told us beforehand that you had established an order. You were going to do Animal Kingdom first, right?
Right.
Okay, so is that where you began?
Yes. And so I had heard you say before to be at the park an hour before it opened. And it opened at 8 o'clock that day, so our goal was to be there at 7. And we got down to the bus stop at 6:35 because we had asked the bus driver the day before, and he said they sometimes start running buses 2 hours before park opens, even though the official Disney word on that, I think, is 45 minutes or something. But we thought, well, surely 6:30, that's a good, you know, kind of middle ground there. And so when we got there, there were some people already waiting for Animal Kingdom. And the bus did not come until 7.
Mm.
And in that time period, 4 Magic Kingdom buses came. And I thought, we are in trouble. Like, we are not starting off our day really well. But, you know, it worked out fine. But I had my doubts at first. But we got on the bus at 7. We got to the park about 7:20. And we got in line, and we happened to be, this was kind of one of those cool things that made me think, well, I'm kind of glad the bus didn't come till 7, because we met this family in line that were, and they were also doing the same challenge. And so that was really cool. So we talked to them, and it was a family of 4, and the mom was telling me that her son couldn't ride Flight of Passage because he gets motion sick. And I thought, oh my gosh, I had intended to take something that morning, because sometimes it happens to me, and I thought, oh no, I didn't take it. Well, she offered me some Dramamine, so I took it. So I thought, wow, I guess it was so nice that we met these people.
They were in the bus line at Pop Century with you?
They were actually in the line at Animal Kingdom.
Oh,
after we got to Animal Kingdom.
You just happened to arrive at Animal Kingdom at about the same time.
Yeah, it was just, and my dad and I were just talking about, you know, because we had not been to Animal Kingdom since Pandora opened, so I was, We were trying to figure out, like, okay, this is the way we need to go, you know, go over the bridge and go to the left and whatever. We were just kind of talking about that. And then they had done this before and ridden Flight of Passage. So they were just kind of telling us what to expect. And then we kind of figured out, oh, we're all doing this challenge. And we ended up seeing them going from Animal Kingdom to Hollywood Studios. Like, we just happened to leave Animal Kingdom at the same time. So that was really neat. But then we never saw them again.
So they happened to choose those as their first 2 parks.
Yeah.
that's so funny.
We were going in the same order.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So what time did they actually let you into Animal Kingdom?
They let us through the gates at 7:35. And that actually, I felt like we weren't super far back in line before they opened the gates. Like, I was pleasantly surprised, because I thought we were going to be a lot farther back. And so we made it through there, and then we had to go through the checkpoint where they make sure that you can be there for the extra morning hours, early magic hours, you know. And then we made it through there, people, you know, it's kind of a fast walk, you know, back to Flight of Passage. And we got in line, it was about 7:45, and it looked kind of long, but it moved. And we never, once we kind of got an established line, it really moved quickly after that. And I think they were running it early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I asked you, because they do often, like, not only let you in, but they start the ride early. So you got in at 7:45, and mm-hmm. then do you have any idea when you actually got on the ride?
I don't know when we got on the ride, but we got off at 8:20.
Okay. So you probably got on the ride around 8.
Yeah.
Right, because there's all those queues that you go through, and it's kind of it's kind of a long ride. Okay, so that's not bad.
It is. I didn't think that was too bad. I did look at my watch when we left. I looked at my watch somewhere in when we were in line, and I remember noticing, oh, it's finally 8 o'clock, but I don't remember where we were at that time. But I do know we left. When we were walking out, I looked at my watch, and I said, oh, it's 8:20. I said, that's really pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Although, I mean, it looks like a lot of people right when the park opens, because it's such a concentrated, you know, grouping. But once everybody gets kind of spread out, it's amazing how fast it moves.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by that.
So what did you think of Flight of Passage?
We loved it. Oh, my gosh. Like, I ended up with an end seat, which made me even more nervous that it was going to make me feel bad. But I don't know I don't think I'm as susceptible to it as I think that I am. I think I'm just paranoid, but I had no issues with it. Of course, I had taken that Dramamine too, but we loved it. Like, I was so impressed with the technology of it. We never got a chance to ride it again, which I wish we had, but I'm just happy we got to ride it that one time and didn't have to wait 2 hours to do it, since we didn't have fast passes.
Use it the right way if you don't have a fast pass.
Yes, it was great. I mean, it lives up to the hype, you know?
Good. Well, I'm glad that you did it. And incidentally, so you said that I advise being there an hour early, which is definitely true for normal park hour days. Like, if it's a 9 a.m. opening, I definitely recommend being there at 8. but the earlier it opens, the less early you have to be to take advantage of the low lines, which you accidentally sort of discovered because when you arrived at 7:20, it still wasn't bad, right?
Right.
So 7 o'clock wasn't necessary. You know, it's just like the earlier you go, the less early you have to be. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. I didn't think about that at the time, but that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So the way you did it ended up being correct, in my opinion. And
good.
It's just that you had a little bit longer wait at the bus stop, which must have felt like an eternity waiting for when you saw all those Magic Kingdom buses coming through.
And they were the huge buses too. I thought, yes. Why? And Magic Kingdom doesn't open until 9 today, you know. But of course, there was a huge line still. So, I mean, they needed all those buses, but it was still frustrating.
It's so strange. And they used the double-decker buses. Not double-decker, the double-length buses for Magic Kingdom. Yeah, so that is nice for those value resorts where there's tons of people. But it's frustrating when none of them are for you.
Right. It did feel like the longest 30 minutes ever.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a great start to your day, but it sounds like you know, once you got past that, then things were on the right track. What else did you do at Animal Kingdom?
We went from there and we rode Navi River Journey, which we waited maybe 10 minutes for that. And we walked around Pandora a little bit after that because when we first got to the park, of course, we weren't really looking at anything. You know, we were just heading towards the line. So we checked everything out. And then by that time, the park was open, you know, for the full group or whatever, you know, not just resort guests. And so it was kind of funny. We just happened to be walking around the front and then it's like the floodgates had just opened, you know, so I was really glad we had gotten off Flight of Passage by that point. And so we took a picture in front of the Tree of Life, since that was one of our objectives for the challenge. And then we just walked over and rode Everest, Expedition Everest, which that line was really short. I think we waited like 10, maybe 15 minutes for that at that time. And then we got our first snack, which was the Mickey pretzel. That's like a standard. And then we wanted to leave the park about 10 or 10:30. And at that point it was, you know, 9:30 maybe or something like that. And so we kind of talked about maybe riding something else, maybe Dinosaur or something that you're not going to take kids on, you know, just something to take advantage of, you know, being there with just adults. And so we walked around that way and just walked through Dino Land, but the line was maybe 20 minutes and we decided, nah, I don't think we really want to wait that long. And so since we had seen the whole park at that point, basically we decided let's just go ahead and go to Hollywood Studios.
So then you went off the bus stops.
Yes.
And you took the bus to Hollywood Studios.
Took the bus to Hollywood Studios. We got there about 10:20. And so we took a photo on Sunset Boulevard in front of the Chinese Theater to be our photo for that park. And I had a fast pass for Rock and Roller Coaster at 10:35. So we walked over there and we did that. That didn't take very long. That was great. I hadn't ridden that ride in forever. So that was really fun. And there we took some photo pass pictures in front of Tower of Terror on the way out. And we stopped and got a frozen lemonade or something and got to see the stormtroopers walk by. And that's always fun. Mm-hmm. And then I had a fast pass for Star Tours, but it wasn't until like 12:05. So we had a little bit of time to kill. So we decided we're both big fans of the Sorcerer's Apprentice, Mickey. Mm-hmm. So we went over and met Minnie and Mickey, and that was fun because we had gotten buttons at the hotel, the I'm Celebrating buttons. And we wrote 4-Park Challenge on there, which I highly recommend for anyone that does this challenge because a lot of cast members commented on it and it just kind of made it fun. And so Minnie actually, in her own mini way, commented on our button and was asking me, you know, which park this was and which park we were going to next. And so we took our picture. That was our second park. So in our picture, you know, we're all holding up two fingers and, you know, that was just kind of cute. So we did that. And then we did the Star Tours with a fast pass. And that was the last thing we were going to do in Hollywood Studios. So while we were in line, I started looking at fast passes in Epcot. And I was able to get a Soarin' fast pass for 2:10, which we thought would work out great because we could get over to Epcot and eat lunch, you know, and then do our ride Soarin'.
Okay, so which is not bad. I mean, because that wasn't very far away.
No, it was from just a couple hours.
Yeah. So how did you get from Hollywood Studios to Epcot?
Earlier in the day, we had talked about walking. But then by the time we got to that point, we decided, I mean, it was getting hot, you know, like, and that bus ride was a nice break because we walked obviously a whole lot that day. So we realized, you know, we just need to take advantage of this break because it's not that long of a bus ride, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we took a bus. We left there about 12:45, maybe something like that. By the time we got up to the bus, and we didn't wait very long, like 5 or 10 minutes for a bus. The construction at Hollywood Studios is so weird. And so the area for the park buses, you feel like you're kind of in just nowhere land. There's really nothing around.
And it's also like if you're catching an Uber or a taxi or anything that's not a resort, it's this whole weird construction zone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're thinking like, do they even know we're over here? Like, is someone going to come?
Yeah.
But luckily, while we were there, the first park bus that came was Epcot. So I felt like we caught a break there.
Yeah, good.
And so, yeah, we took the bus to Epcot and we ate lunch at Sunshine Seasons since it's right there by Soarin'. And that was nice. I mean, I didn't feel like, with the exception of Magic Kingdom, I didn't feel like any of the parks were overly crowded. And of course, we weren't at any park very long. So that probably had something to do with it. But, you know, I didn't feel like Sunshine Seasons was terribly crowded or anything. So it was a nice break.
You weren't at any of the parks for very long, but you were at them at varying times of the day, and you had to do all of, like, the headliners for your challenge. So I feel like you did probably get a really good overview of what the crowds were.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, we were at Animal Kingdom early, which helped. And mm-hmm. Hollywood Studios and Epcot both, I felt, were pleasant crowd wise. I didn't feel like any of them were overwhelming, and I don't know. I don't remember what the standby line for Soarin' was when we were there, but I think it was pretty significant. I mean, but it's Soarin', so I guess it's going to be.
But the fact that you got a fast pass close to the time is a pretty good indicator.
True. I was felt really lucky to get that because I really wanted to ride Soarin', because that was going to be our signature ride, you know, because that we had to have one major ride in each park, and that's what I wanted our Epcot one to be. Test Track was going to kind of be a backup, but there were no fast passes for Test Track, so we probably would have had to have done that in the single rider line, which would have been okay. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to ride Soarin', so I was glad we were able to do that and not have to wait a really long time to do it.
And so you're at Sunshine Seasons, which is in the same building as Soarin'.
Yes.
And then you got to use your fast pass for Soarin'.
Got to use our fast pass for Soarin'. So as soon as I checked in, as we checked in with our fast pass, I pulled out my phone and booked one. I'm just a big Figment fan. And I know you don't really need a fast pass for Journey into Imagination, but there really wasn't anything else we wanted a fast pass for at that time. So I just booked one and we used it right after that. So we went from, so we rode Soarin'. And then we did Journey into Imagination. And then there really wasn't anything else we wanted to ride in Epcot at that point. But we did the Pixar Movie Festival, mm-hmm. which I had never done. That was really fun.
And it's right next to Figment. So
it's right next. Yeah. I mean, it's just perfect timing. I thought that was really cute.
It is. And not busy. It gets you out of heat. And at this point, you're right in the middle of the afternoon. So getting out of the heat is a good thing. Did you get a picture together in front of Spaceship Earth on the way in?
Oh, yes, we did.
Okay. I'm trying to keep track of your park icon pictures.
Yes, you're right. I don't think I wrote that down, but yes, we did. Because the weather was just beautiful at that point. And so I'm really glad we got a picture because before we left Epcot, it started raining. But the weather at that time that we arrived in Epcot was fantastic. And so we got these great pictures at Epcot. I mean, at Spaceship Earth. Right when we got there, and that was fun.
Having your third park icon picture by, 1 o'clock is not so bad.
Not so bad, yeah. I felt like we were kind of on a roll at that point. And we took more pictures. Like, we took some pictures on the other side of Spaceship Earth. Because my dad was totally fascinated by the magic shots. He had never seen those before, so we have a bunch of magic shots, which was fun. Like, some I had never seen before.
So did you have Memory Maker then?
We did have Memory Maker, which I kind of, at first I thought, I don't know, this seems like a lot to spend on, well, basically a 2-day park trip, but I know that those pictures are about $15 each, and I just felt like I would want more pictures than I would be willing to pay for if I had to pay $15 for each one. And I'm really glad we got it because we ended up with a ton of pictures.
Yeah.
And now we can have all of them, you know.
That's right. Especially you would have had lots of ride photos as well and your dad's new fascination with magic shots.
Yes, we did have a lot of – and I wasn't thinking about that when I booked our trip, but we did have a lot of ride photos. And so it turned out to be totally worth it because it doesn't take that many pictures to make Memory Maker worth it.
Yeah, know? Only like 10 or some or 11. It's like a pretty small amount.
Mm-hmm. So even if you're only there for 2 days like we were, I mean, that's, you know, one little meeting with a photo pass photographer gets you 6 pictures,
yeah.
You know, usually or something. So it didn't take long for us to get a number of pictures that we wanted. And so I'm glad we did it because now we can get all of them and that makes it fun. And because in Epcot alone, I think we stopped 3 different times to take pictures, like once in the World Showcase and once on either side of the Spaceship Earth. So we got some different perspectives on that.
Yeah. And after trips, it's just the pictures that you have. So
that's right.
You might as well get them all.
Exactly.
So what else did you get to do at Epcot?
I really wanted to go to the Caramel Bakery in Germany. And so we decided, let's just walk all the way. We had time, like before we set out for the day, I had kind of had in my mind what time I thought we ought to arrive at each park, just to kind of give us a framework for the day. And so, and we had some time before we really needed to be at Magic Kingdom, so to speak. And so we just walked all the way around World Showcase and just kind of checked some stuff out. And then we did stop in the Caramel Bakery and we each got something. And then the cast member working there gave us caramel corn, which was awesome because I kind of wanted some, but I thought, I don't know, we're not going to eat all this. But of course we did when he gave it to us. So that was fun.
Could you smell the caramel all the way from Future World?
Yes. I was telling my dad about it. And I mean, before we even got there, he said, we must be close because you can just smell it.
You can. It's impossible not to go in to me because it smells so good.
Yes. I love that place. I could just take one of everything. So when we left there, we stopped, I don't know what country's next, but we stopped basically right by the bridge and just sat at a table and kind of ate what we had. And then while we were sitting there, they made an announcement that the drawbridge was going up and they were bringing in the globe that they use for illuminations. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of neat, like just a neat little, I saw all kinds of things on this trip I don't remember seeing before. So that was just something kind of different.
Yeah, I've never seen that either, and I was there for a month one time.
Oh, wow.
I know it happens, but I've just never been there at that time, I don't think. But yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, a little bit of extra Disney there. So that was kind of cool. And then by the time it moved through, you know, we were ready to move on, and we decided to walk over. I was telling him about the Seas and the Nemo and Friends ride, so like, let's just do that on the way out. We decided we would do that and just leave, because that line was basically nothing. And so we walked on that ride and we were walking out. We saw it, you know, we said, let's just go ahead and go. Well, when we got to the doors, I mean, it was pouring down rain. So we decided, well, this is probably good. Like part of the time while it's raining can be while we're riding from one park to the next. So that'll be a kind of a good way to use up that time. And I thought we weren't going to be able to take the monorail to the Magic Kingdom. I would have bet money that I saw signs on the way in that said that the monorail wasn't running and you'd have to take a bus. Well, at some point while we were there, the monorail started running. And so we actually did get to take the monorail to the Magic Kingdom, which to me makes it more fun because it's just feels more Disney to get to take the monorail.
It does. If you have time, the
right.
Monorail is more fun. It's definitely not fast, but.
Right. That's true. We weren't in. That was one good thing about the way that day went. I never felt like we were rushed. You know, like I felt like we planned everything spaced out pretty well so that we didn't have to rush from one thing to another. We kind of got to enjoy extra stuff beyond just the 2 rides and the picture and the snack, you know, just like the things we were trying to check off our list. So that kind of made the day more enjoyable than just running from one thing to the next.
So about what time was it at this point where you are leaving Epcot and going to Magic Kingdom?
It was about 5:00.
Okay.
Which was my thought was like, let's try to get to Magic Kingdom maybe about 5:30 or 6 or some, you know, somewhere around in there. So we made it there at some point. I can't remember exactly when, probably while we were still in Epcot, I booked a fast pass for Buzz Lightyear. in Magic Kingdom. So we had that for 5:45. So by the time we got off the monorail and got through security and all that, you know, it was basically time for the fast pass. It was still raining at this point. It rained for probably 2 hours. And there were storms, like there was lightning in the area. So when we got to Magic Kingdom, a bunch of stuff was closed, which may or may not have impacted the lines. They may have been long anyway for those rides once they reopened, but they were definitely long. And so we rode Buzz Lightyear, came out, it was still raining. So I booked a fast pass for Pirates of the Caribbean, but we had a little time, so we did Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor along with everybody else. You know, everybody was trying to find inside stuff to do, but we didn't have to really wait that long. It holds so many people. So we did that. We came out. It was still raining. We walked over and we did Pirates. And then I think when we came out of there, I think it had stopped raining. And so we booked a fast pass for Haunted Mansion. And in the meantime, I think in the meantime, it had stopped raining at that point. It started raining again later. It was hard to keep up. But in before our fast pass for Haunted Mansion, we ate at Pinocchio Village House. And we tried out the mobile ordering, which was really great. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of that now. So we did that and we ate there. And while we were eating, we were just about done eating, and I was checking the My Disney Experience app all the time, watching for these outdoor rides to reopen. And while we were sitting there, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train reopened, and the line, the signs, I mean, the wait time said 30 minutes. And so we like quickly threw all our stuff away, you know, ran over there. And while, right before we walked in, the cast member said, the wait time for this line is 2 hours. And they, so it went from 30 minutes to 2 hours in 5 minutes, you know. And that was one of the things that I think I didn't really anticipate, because I hadn't been to Magic Kingdom in so long when I was trying to ride rides like that, that I didn't realize what an impact that was going to have because of all the fast passes. Like all the people that had fast passes while it was shut down were suddenly using all of theirs. Mm-hmm. And so same thing, it's, you know, Splash Mountain or anything else that had been closed. So, man, those lines were long. So we did not want to wait 2 hours. And so we got out of line and went over and just used our, I think I ended up changing the Haunted Mansion Fast Pass to something else, because I think it was way later. And we decided, we just went ahead and did it because it was raining again at that point. And so we just did Haunted Mansion. The posted wait time was 45 minutes, but we ended up waiting like 20.
Yeah, that's what, when you said the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was posted at 2 hours, I wondered if it was actually true.
Yeah, and I don't know.
It's hard to know unless you stay in the line.
Yeah, it was hard to know, and we, but we kind of had a dilemma at that point because we hadn't ridden anything at Magic Kingdom that I would consider to be a signature ride. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could make an argument for some of them, I guess, but and to us, it needed to be Big Thunder Mountain or Space Mountain or Splash Mountain or mm-hmm. Seven Dwarfs, like one of those.
And One of the mountains.
And so we decided, well, after we did Haunted Mansion, we decided we're just going to have to go get in line for something because we can't get fast passes anymore for any of those rides. And so we went to Big Thunder Mountain. We only waited about 30 minutes. And so I didn't think that was too bad. And that ride was fun.
Was it dark yet when you rode it?
It was, yes, it was getting dark, and by the time we rode it, it was dark. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's a really good one at night.
Mm-hmm. And then, really, all these rides, we had ridden, well, except for Seven Dwarfs, we had ridden all these rides before, but it had been years, so it basically was like riding it again. So that was fun. We got off the ride about 9, and we got a churro, you know, back there in Adventureland, and right around then the fireworks started. And so that we weren't really planning to watch the fireworks. We were just, you know, kind of going on with our day, but we ended up stopping in the Liberty Square area and watching them from behind the castle. So we missed the projection show on the castle and all that, but it was still really fun to, I mean, fireworks are still great. So we watched those from back there, and that was a nice little break in our day. I'm glad we got to see those.
So you accomplished your challenge.
Yes. So yes, because that once we rode Big Thunder, because we had, well, we didn't get to take the pictures at Cinderella Castle when we first got there, of course, because it was raining. But at some point, it quit raining, and we were able to take pictures I think maybe before we ate dinner and, or after, might've been after, but anyway, we got that done. So once we were a Big Thunder, our challenge was complete. So that was great. I kind of thought, well, once the fireworks are over, maybe people will leave and then we can ride some of these other rides. But the lines never really went down. I don't know if it was because it had rained or Magic Kingdom did have the late extra hours that day. They were open till 1 a.m. And so I don't know if a bunch of people were planning to stay for that. But when I don't know, maybe I'm just naive. I just thought we could kind of walk on and off some of these rides. And I guess if we had stayed till 1 a.m., we probably could have. But the crowds just didn't clear out as quickly as I thought. So that might have just been summertime. I don't know. I'm not sure what the reason was.
Well, I think you might be right that extra magic hours contributed to the crowds. But when it's as late as 1 a.m., often like 11, 12 o'clock, it's pretty empty because people don't stay most of the time all the way until 1 a.m. But at this point in your plans, it's still pretty early in the night.
Yeah, because at this point it's maybe 9:30,
right,
or 9:45, and so we decided we would stick around a little bit longer. Because of course, by this time, and we got to Animal Kingdom at 7:20, so by this time, you know, we're pretty wiped out. But we decided we would stick around just a little while, just to see what happened with the crowds after the fireworks. So we did Mickey's PhilharMagic, and the whole night we were at Magic Kingdom, I checked wait times on the app, just, you know, hoping for some kind of breakthrough. And about 10:30, we decided, you know, it didn't really look like from the crowds that people were leaving anytime soon. In fact, there were people coming in at that time. I guess people that were planning, like, we're going to close down this park at 1 a.m., you know. And so we decided, you know, we've done a lot today. Let's just head back. So about 10:30, we headed back to the hotel.
At that point, Magic Kingdom was the only thing open. Probably, right. Right? And so
I think so.
People that want to stay up late, that's really their only option.
Right. So, which would be fun if you hadn't been going all day like we had.
Yeah, you had already had a really long day at that point.
Right. We walked. So we basically went from 7:20 at Animal Kingdom to 10:30 at Magic Kingdom, and we walked 12 miles that day. So we were pretty worn out, and we decided, I mean, we probably could have stayed till 1 a.m., but I don't know that we would have enjoyed ourselves the next day.
You know? Yeah, exactly. You had to fit, you know, you didn't want to take too many breaks during your short trip, probably.
Right. So that worked out, I think. And we achieved everything we wanted to achieve. So it's not like we left something hanging, but we definitely did more than our challenge required, you know. So because we had time and, you know, why not spend a little bit of extra time in each park, especially since we didn't have a long trip. I mean, I think if you were doing this challenge and you were going to be down there a week, you probably wouldn't do what we did, because you wouldn't need to, because you'd probably have a whole day in those parks on a different day. And if you did what we did, you'd probably wear yourself out and not really be able to enjoy the rest of your trip or something. But I thought the way we did it was great, and I would definitely do it again.
Yeah, it sounds really fun, especially with your dad. And if he can hang with you and keep up with that pace, then that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun because we, you know, every so often he'd say, how many miles have we walked, you know, and check. And we both thought we might walk 10, and then we ended up with 12 by the time the day was over, which was a lot.
Yeah, but still not bad for four parks.
Not bad for four parks. I thought the day went really well, especially considering how it started. And I thought if Animal Kingdom doesn't go well, then it's going to throw the rest of our day off. But the fact that it started off well, and everything, Magic Kingdom was kind of a little hiccup because of the rain and some stuff that we really couldn't control, but we still got to do some stuff we wanted to do. And, you know, I was pleased, and we had a really great time. We have lots of good ride photos to show for it too.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them. I'll need you to send me a few when we get done recording so I can include one with the episode. So
yeah, definitely.
I'll look forward to seeing some of your pictures. So you had a long day, you're back at the hotel, and then the next day was also going to be a park day.
Right. We had originally planned to go back to Animal Kingdom first thing, like we did on Wednesday. and try to ride Flight of Passage and then maybe go over to Magic Kingdom. Well, I never really looked at the park hours for Thursday until we got down there and we realized the Animal Kingdom was once again opening at 8 instead of 9. And so we decided we were not really up for getting up that early again. And we knew if we didn't, then we weren't going to get to ride Flight of Passage so easily. So we were kind of hoping for maybe we'll go late and get to ride it late. And so I had some fast passes booked for Magic Kingdom already starting late morning. So we decided, let's just go there. We won't try to get there super early just because we were so worn out. We ended up leaving about 10 from the hotel.
To go to Magic Kingdom.
To go to Magic Kingdom. We got our photo in front of the castle again because the weather was beautiful at that point. So, I mean, we got pictures the first day, but this one was like blue sky pictures and stuff, you know, so they were really nice. Mm-hmm. And we decided to go ride Big Thunder again because I had a fast pass for Space Mountain and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So we knew we were going to get those taken care of. We weren't super interested in Splash Mountain just because we don't really like getting wet, even though I do really love that ride. But this was kind of the other major ride that we didn't have a fast pass for. And we both really liked it. So we got in line for that. The posted wait time was 50 minutes, but it actually was more like 30. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. We rode that during the day. You know, we rode it at night the day before. And so once we got done there, it was time for our fast pass for Space Mountain at 11:30. So we walked over there and found out that it was closed.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
And I guess, I mean, it didn't occur to me to check the app or anything because we had a fast pass. So we walked over there and I looked at my Disney Experience app after that and realized that our fast pass had changed and it's now said multiple experiences, which I didn't realize it would do that. I thought that was pretty neat. Of course, it doesn't include Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but we still really wanted to use it for Space Mountain. So we basically kind of had to just keep checking in for when it reopened. But it was almost lunchtime, so we ate Tomorrowland Terrace and I booked another. We had a late fast pass for Big Thunder, like 6:45 or 7, but we decided we probably wanted to be in Animal Kingdom by then. So I moved that fast pass up for Buzz Lightyear again. And that was maybe 2:00 or something. So we had some time in between lunch and that fast pass. And so my dad really likes Goofy. So we walked back to Fantasyland and met Goofy and Donald. Took some character pictures, and then we decided we still had some time before the fast pass, and everything had a long line. Like, I totally understand why people leave in that early afternoon period and go back to the hotel. During the summertime, I guess any time of year is good, but especially the summertime because it's hot and the lines are long and there are poor little kids everywhere are crying. And, you know, I can completely understand doing that.
Especially at Magic Kingdom.
Right, especially at Magic Kingdom. Oh, man. So we decided we would do Hall of Presidents because I don't know the last time I did that. And that was, I really enjoyed that more than I thought I would. I mean, it's nice and air-conditioned in there, you know. But I thought that was really enjoyable. And while we were in there, Space Mountain reopened. So we had a fast pass for Buzz Lightyear right after that. So we went ahead and did that because we figured it really won't make a huge difference in Space Mountain, and it may have, I'm not sure, but when we got out, this fast pass line was long. Like, it was all the way back to Astro Orbiter, I guess.
The Space Mountain fast pass line?
Yes.
And so, I wanted to point this out, though, because earlier when you talked about how when things reopen, sometimes the fast pass line, you know, impacts the standby line, Space Mountain is the one that immediately popped in my head, because sometimes that fast pass line is very often long because that ride breaks down so much. And then people show up in droves to use their fast passes, and that makes the fast pass line really long.
Yes, it was. And sometime during that time period, Splash Mountain had also broken down. So there were potentially people that had a Splash Mountain fast pass that were coming over to Space Mountain. Mm-hmm. Because I heard one of the cast members say something about that when we were checking in with our fast passes. But because when Space Mountain reopened, Splash Mountain was still closed. So I guess potentially could have said, well, let's just go ride Space Mountain, you know, I don't know. But it didn't take us, the whole time in that fast pass line took about 30 minutes. And the posted wait time for standby was something like around 2 hours. And some people in line with us said that, you know, the inside line for the fast pass at Space Mountain isn't super long, so that's why it sticks out outside. And I don't know. I mean, it still took us a while to get on it, but nowhere near as long as it would have if we hadn't had a fast pass, I'm assuming.
30 minutes is a long time for a fast pass line, though.
It is. I mean, because we made it inside the building in about 5 minutes, even though that line was really long. I was like, okay, we're moving. But by the time we got off, it was about 30 minutes.
Because it's one of the longest queues. You know, like once you get in, you have to walk and walk and walk and walk and walk just to get on the ride. So if it comes out the building, that means it's really long.
And it was shut down for probably 2 hours. So that's a lot of fast passes that didn't get used, mm-hmm. and that had to be made up for later. And I'm assuming a lot of people still wanted to use it for Space Mountain, just like we did, and didn't want to go ride something else. Because if you did go ride something else, you're probably not going to get a fast pass, like just pick up a fast pass for Space Mountain that day.
But you did get to get on it, and hopefully you weren't late for your Buzz Lightyear fast pass.
No, well, we had ridden Buzz Lightyear before, because that was my fear was...
Oh, I see.
Like if we went, I didn't know how long, that fast pass line looked so long. I was afraid that if we did, when we came out, we might have missed our fast pass for Buzz Lightyear. And we kind of thought, well, I don't think this line's getting this, we didn't think the Space Mountain line would be getting shorter anytime soon. So we decided, let's just go ahead and use our fast pass for Buzz Lightyear. You know, that really didn't take that long. And then we got in line and used our fast pass for Space Mountain. And that was fun. You know, that is still a fun ride, even though it took us kind of a while to get on it. But it was still fun. And by that point, we had a little time before our Seven Dwarfs Mine Train fast pass. So we just kind of got a drink and just sat down and took a little break. And by then, it looked like it was going to rain again. And so I thought, that is going to be just our luck, because we were in line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and they made an announcement. I mean, the skies are dark, you know, we knew it was going to rain. I mean, you could just tell. So they made an announcement that, you know, there's potential bad weather coming. We may have to shut down the ride, but we're going to try to get as many people on as we can. And I thought, oh, please just let us ride this ride before the rain comes, which we did. It didn't take too long. It was a pretty quick fast pass. For us.
And ride.
It is a quick ride.
It is a quick ride.
That was our first time riding it. And it was fun. I mean, I'm glad we got to do it. But yeah, it was quick, because my dad said, I think I like Big Thunder better.
Yeah. Big Thunder is a nice length.
Yes. Yes. And it's more of a thrill ride, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. than Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is. But it was fun. I'm glad we finally got to do it. And we decided at that point, it was about 5:15 by then. So we were kind of done at Magic Kingdom, and we decided to head back over to Animal Kingdom and just see, you know, what could happen there. So we got on a bus, took it to Animal Kingdom. And at some point in there, it started raining again. And so a lot of the outdoor rides, or I guess all the outdoor rides at Animal Kingdom started shutting down. And we were both kind of afraid it was going to be just an early night, like, you know, that we weren't, you know, if the rides we wanted to ride at Animal Kingdom were shut down, then we probably were just going to head back. But we ate dinner at Flame Tree Barbecue, and then we shopped a little bit. And then we did It's Tough to Be a Bug, which was fun. And I was able to get, I think while we were eating dinner, I was able to get a fast pass for Expedition Everest. So that was fun. I thought, well, hopefully it won't be lightning or anything by then. And because it was shut down for a little while, but we walked over there and it was raining. So we rode it in the rain, but luckily it wasn't lightning. And we got there, I think you can get on 5 minutes before your fast pass, maybe. Yes. Is that right?
5 minutes and early or 15 minutes late.
15 minutes late. Okay. I couldn't remember that part, but when we got there, it was maybe 7 minutes before our fast pass, but the cast member let us on anyway. There was a pretty long fast pass line for the same reason, people using them from earlier in the day when it had been shut down. So I guess he probably wasn't too worried about it. Like, just come on in, you know? So we rode it in the rain, which was fine. It wasn't raining that hard. And then the coolest thing, we got out, or while we were on the ride, I noticed a rainbow. and while we were going up the hill. And so when we came out, we realized it was a complete rainbow and it was a double rainbow.
Aww.
So yeah, so we walked around the lake a little bit and I got a really neat, I did a panoramic picture with my phone and got a really neat picture of the whole thing, like with Everest in the background and all that. So that was really neat. It was kind of a nice little end. It wasn't really the end of our day, but it was towards the end. So that was a nice little bonus to get to see that.
That's a nice part
and
to be in.
While we were standing there, I booked another fast pass for Everest. We were on a roll with Expedition Everest that day.
That's a nice part to be in for rainbows to appear.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't think about that. But the crowd was really great. Like, especially coming from Magic Kingdom, I guess, which is kind of always crowded. We both thought that now it was very humid at Animal Kingdom, of course, because it had just rained and it's always hot there, it seems like. So it was very humid, but where we live, it's humid anyway. So that doesn't bother us too much. But it was just pleasant crowd-wise to be there. We both really enjoyed just kind of walking around there. And we had some time before our last, that fast pass forever. So we walked over and rode Dinosaur, which was very bumpy, mm-hmm. but we did it and, came back and rode Everest one more time. So over the 2 days we rode Everest once just in the morning, once in the rain and once at night. So I felt like we really ran the gamut with Everest on yes. that trip.
Yes. You definitely got your Everest time in.
Yeah, but that was a really fun ride. Like, it was fun every time we rode it, so we didn't mind that. And by then, it was finally dark, and so we, of course, didn't get a chance to see Pandora in the dark the day before. So we thought, oh, this is a great chance for us to walk over there. I think Rivers of Light was going on maybe while we walked by. Maybe it was already done. But the Tree of Life, the show on the Tree of Life was going on, so we watched that a little bit, and it was just, I don't know, I really like Animal Kingdom at night. Like, it's just so different.
And it's very different, and I think it's one of the best things that's happened at Disney World in the last, you know, year or so, is just having it open at night, because it used to, like, close at 5 p.m., so right. you never saw it at night, and now it's so much cooler, and with Pandora, it's so pretty.
Yes, and maybe the cooler part is part of the reason why it's nice to be there.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I like how they added all the Pandora special effects at night. Like, that just kind of adds to you wanting to stay late. Mm-hmm. And so we walked over there. Of course, the Flight of Passage line was still pretty long. It was still at least an hour and a half. And so we decided not to try to get in line for that, because by this point it was maybe 9 o'clock. And we just didn't want to be out that late again, since we had had such a long day the day before. But there was a photo pass photographer taking pictures in Pandora at night. So we did that, which, because the pictures I was taking with my phone, you just can't capture it. Like, it just didn't look the same as it did in person. But the photo pass photos, I mean, obviously their cameras are much better equipped for that. So that was a nice little bonus to, because that picture looks great. You can really see the effects of the nighttime.
Yeah, it's not, they have DSLR cameras. Obviously, their settings are just right to capture yes. the lighting and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that is a good use of a photographer.
Yes, yes. So that was good. And when we left about 9:45, and I can't remember what time the park closed that day, but I want to say it was 11, but I could be wrong. But anyway, we decided we didn't really want to wait that long, like an hour and a half to 2 hours to ride Flight of Passage again. So we headed back about 9:45 and went back to the hotel on the bus.
So 2 pretty long days in a row.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But you're packing it in because it's a short trip. And these were your only 2 park days.
That's right.
So
that's right.
The next day, as I recall, you had some non-park things planned. How did you sleep in and, you know, check out as late as you could, or how did your next day go?
Yeah, we slept in some, you know, we're not like big on sleeping in really late. So we kind of slept in as long as we wanted to, basically, and packed everything up. You know, we got our boarding passes at our door and the Magical Express information and all that. So
were you flying on Southwest by chance?
I was, yes.
Okay, because the boarding passes on the door are a thing that you often get with Southwest, so that's why I wanted to ask.
Yeah, that was so convenient. I didn't realize they would do that. So that was really nice because we, you know, we had already checked in for our flights the day before. So we were just ready to go. And somehow, I still don't know how this happened, but our tickets said TSA pre-check on them. Mm-hmm. So we got to go through the pre-check lines at both airports. And as far as I know, I did not pay for that.
You would know if you paid for it because there's an interview process and all that kind of stuff because I have it. But they do randomly give it to people sometimes because I had TSA pre-check randomly at the Orlando airport even before I had gone through the process to get it.
Really?
Yeah. So sometimes it randomly happens. And at the Orlando airport, that's super handy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Birmingham, it didn't really matter because they were there pretty early and, you know, the lines were not an issue. But in Orlando, it definitely saved us probably 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that was really neat. But anyway, yeah. So we got our boarding passes. We did the check it, you know, we checked our bags at the hotel and then we were just free because our flight wasn't until 7:55. So we had plenty of time. Our Magical Express bus time was like 4:35, I think. So we had plenty of time. So we had decided we would go do one of the miniature golf courses. And I was afraid that it was going to take us an hour to get from Pop Century over to the Swan Hotel. Because we were doing the Fantasia one, mm-hmm. but it ended up, we got really lucky on buses. We, other than that very first bus to Animal Kingdom on Wednesday, the bus system worked great for us. Like, we never had to wait a significant amount of time, maybe 10 minutes at the most, which I didn't think was too bad. So there was a bus waiting to go to Hollywood Studios when we walked out of Pop Century. So we got on that. The driver gave everybody these little tokens, like a Disney transportation token. I'd never seen one of those. It was kind of wooden. I think it was wooden. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but explain what it was.
It had, so on one side, I think it said Disney Transport. And on the other side, it had a picture of a wheel with a Mickey head in it. And I'm pretty sure they were wooden. I need to get that back out. But he gave one to everybody. And didn't really, I thought, did we win a prize? Like, what is this? And the driver said, he said, don't go trying to sell this on eBay. He said, we've given out 500,000 of these already this year. And so I guess it's just a little Disney bus souvenir. So that was kind of neat.
Interesting. I've heard of transportation cards, I think it is. They're like trading cards that you can get on different forms of transportation, but not these wooden tokens.
Yeah, I think I've heard of those cards too. So maybe this is the new age of that. Mm. I don't know. Because it did have a wheel on it. So it may be that on the monorail, they give you one that has a picture of the monorail on it or, you know, mm-hmm. or maybe there's a boat one. I don't know. I didn't think about that at the time, but that could be just the next generation of the cards, possibly.
You know, if people do know about
it. That was neat. There were a lot of neat little things like that.
If people do know about it, they will be in the comment section or emailing me because that's what happens after every episode. They're like, well, actually, yeah, so I'll
we'll find out.
If somebody knows, feel free to email me or comment, and then I will mention it in a future episode.
There you go. Yeah, because I thought it was maybe just common knowledge because he said they had passed out so many, but it probably wouldn't take that long to pass out 500,000 of those, you know,
yeah, at Disney World. Did he mean that day he had done 500,000 of them?
It could have been. It could have been. But he was super nice. So we took the bus to Hollywood Studios and then just immediately got on a bus to the Swan and Dolphin. It was also going, I guess it was also going to the Boardwalk maybe. Cause it stopped, I think it stopped at Boardwalk first and then we got off at the Swan Hotel and then it was a very easy walk from there to the golf course, the miniature golf course. And with our Magic Bands, we had gotten the Magical Extras card. And so we got two free, well, it was really four, but we had free passes for the miniature golf. Mm-hmm. So that was free. So it's kind of like, why not? And we did that and that was really fun. It course wasn't very crowded. It was pretty hot, but it wasn't very crowded. And we did that we got there about 10:15 maybe, and we were done in about an hour. And so we had planned to walk over to the Boardwalk. I had never really been around that area and I didn't realize how close all those hotels were. So that was kind of fun just to get to see that area of the resort, you know, just to see a different side of it. And But we just, it was pretty hot at that point. And so we just went in the Swan Hotel and just took a little break for a little while because it felt fantastic in there. And then when it got closer to lunchtime, we walked over to the boardwalk and we ate at the ESPN restaurant about 12:30. Mm-hmm. And I had a reservation, but it really wasn't necessary. I mean, there wasn't a line or anything like that. But I made one because I had no idea. So we shopped at a few of the little stores and just kind of looked around. And I said, you know, why don't we take a bus to the Magic Kingdom and then ride the resort loop of the monorail, because we had not been on that yet. So that's what we did. We took the bus from, we walked back to the Swan and took a bus to Magic Kingdom. And as soon as we got off the bus at Magic Kingdom, it started pouring. So we didn't have great timing there, but I didn't realize this, but we actually had to go back through security mm-hmm. to get to the monorail. And I mean, it makes sense just by the way everything's laid out. But of course, I had to search my bag and all
that. I know, but it didn't used to be like that, though.
It didn't? Okay.
No, it used to be that you could easily get off at the bus stop at Magic Kingdom and then change over to the boat or monorail or whatever without going through security. But the way it works now, you do. So when you got on the monorail, were you planning to get off at the hotels?
No, we were just riding around, just okay. looking at them.
Because yeah. if you get off at the hotels, you have to go through security at the hotel every time you board the monorail.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I'm glad we didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. It's frustrating because monorail crawls are kind of fun. But yeah. when you have, you know, security to deal with every time, it can be kind of annoying.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. And we told the security guards, you know, like, we're just trying to get to the monorail. Do we need to go back through security? And he said yes. And mm-hmm. so luckily the lines weren't long because it was about, well, I don't remember what time it was, but it wasn't a busy time going to security, and it was raining, so there wasn't a lot of movement in that area. So we kind of ran. It's funny how things happen. You know, we decided we would just run from cover to cover mm-hmm. to get to the monorail, and because who knows how long it's going to rain. And it seemed like it was going to set in for a while, so we did that. And as soon as we got to the monorail, it quit raining. But that was fine.
I can just picture you running. It's like you're jumping from a lily pad to lily pad, but you're trying right. to, you're jumping from covered area to covered area. Right. That's a normal thing to do in the parks too. Like in Tomorrowland, I can tell you all the spots you can hop from to avoid the rain.
Yes. I can. Yeah. And so like, you know, running to the area where the boats are and, you know, running. And then we went to the wrong monorail. I wasn't paying attention. We went to the wrong monorail side and I was like, oh, this is the express. We got to go back around. Other side. And so anyway, we finally made it, and that was fun just to see the resorts. And we were going to get off when we got back to Magic Kingdom. We were going to get off and take a bus back to Pop Century, but there was a cast member. I meant to ask him if he was the monorail driver, but there was a cast member that got on the bus, and my dad and I were talking, and he made a suggestion that we take the monorail to Epcot and take the bus from Epcot back to Pop Century because the bus ride would be shorter, which I didn't think about. And I thought, well, we might as well. You know, we weren't in a huge hurry. So that's what we did, which was fun because it's fun to ride the monorail through Epcot, mm-hmm. you know. And we had not done that. I kind of felt like I was on a guided tour or something. Mm-hmm. So we basically rode all the way around the monorail, the resort loop, back to Magic Kingdom. And then we rode a little bit farther to get off and get on the Epcot one.
You did 1.5 rotations. On the monorail.
We did, which was fun. And because, you know, it was just kind of a nice little break. And we decided we'll just eat a snack at Pop Century in the food court. And then by then it was time for our Magical Express bus. And so we walked out there and realized after we got out there, our bus was 4:35. And there was supposed to be a bus at 4:05 that never showed up. And so, because a cast member came out and said something like, you know, the bus is coming, you know, thank you for your patience, something. And I thought, well, it's not even time for our bus to be here yet. And I realized after talking to another guest that, oh, she was talking about the 4:05 bus. And so those people had been waiting out there a while. So they were kind of frustrated, which I could understand.
Yeah, because imagine if they didn't check their bags at the hotel, so they maybe needed to do that at the airport. They didn't have TSA pre-check, and their bus is running late. Like, that's just, yes. that's a lot.
It's a lot because their bus was supposed to leave at 4:05 and our bus actually left at 4:45. And a lot of them did have bags. And yeah, the lines were, I mean, the lines at Orlando are never great, you know, to get through security. So it would have stressed me out if I'd been in their shoes, just because every minute that you lose at the airport is just kind of stressful. So hopefully they made it.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it does pick you up 3 hours in advance, but if it's 45 minutes late, that really, and then you have to wait in line at the airport, that really cuts into it. So,
yes.
Luckily, you were not impacted by the delays.
Luckily, yes, yes. And they brought a Disney Cruise Line bus to pick us up, and which I don't know if those are bigger than the Magical Express buses or not, but that's what we got. And because I thought, are we even going to all fit? Because that's basically two buses of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure each bus was probably not full, but you still wonder, like, is there going to be enough space for all of us? But there was, and it was fine. And, you know, we made it to the airport with no problem. And we ate dinner in the airport and, you know, flew home. And the flight home was really easy. Of course, other Disney people on the flight, which is always fun. But lots of people wearing magic bands on the way home.
Yeah, the flights in and out of Orlando are always fun.
Yeah.
Because you're all pretty much going for the same reason.
That's right. That's right. So that part was smooth for us, luckily. But the cast members said that missing Magical Express buses had been happening frequently lately. And I don't know if – and she didn't know why. And so I thought, well, that's a little concerning. But I'm sure Disney will get a handle on that if that is an issue. But it's just something to think about, I guess. Like, another good reason to use the – where you can check your bags if you're eligible for that.
Yeah, the resort airline check-in. But some airlines, you can't do that. So then, you know.
Yeah, then you're kind of stuck. But I'm glad we were able to do that. And since you have your boarding passes in that situation, I mean, we just went straight to security. So for us, it worked out okay.
It did. I would have been tempted if my bus was late to take an Uber.
Me too.
And it's not cheap to do that, but it would have gotten you there quickly. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you mentioned that the cast member told you that, because that's something for everybody to know.
Yeah. And I did see a couple of Ubers or Lyfts or something come while we were waiting for our bus. And I wondered if that was some people from the 405 bus, possibly. You know, I have no idea. But that thought did cross my mind, because that's probably what I would have wanted to do. Like, let's get out of here. Like, I need to get to the airport before things get bad. And so I probably, even though it would have been an extra cost, but it definitely would have crossed my mind if I'd been in their shoes.
Absolutely. But yeah. Your trip went well. And now you've been home for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, it was a success.
It was a success.
And you got this time with your dad, which is fantastic. So
yeah, it was great.
Happy Father's Day to him.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Well, I appreciate you sharing, and I look forward to seeing some of the pictures that you took during your trip. And
yes.
I appreciate you spending this time with me.
Yes, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it. It gave me a really great reason to take notes while I was on our trip, and which was nice, because we did so much that I don't know that I would have remembered all those details. So it was good to have a reason to write everything down.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, because it makes these post-trip interviews a lot easier.
Yes. Great. I'm glad to do it.
All right. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that delightful report from Rachel. I do have a quick tip of the day before we wrap it up. This was emailed in by Emily Fox. She said, I just listened to your Rachel trip report, and she mentioned filing claims in her trip report. One reason we always do the dining plan is because that is also covered by trip insurance as a prepaid portion. Last time we were at Disney World, I got sick and we ended up with several unused credits. We prorated out the cost of the unused credits and we were reimbursed by our trip insurance. So that is a handy little tip from Emily. I appreciate that, Emily. And I think that'll wrap up episode 180. Look in the show notes of your podcasting app for any links that were mentioned today, or you can go to www.prepschool.com, click on podcasts, and scroll to episode 180. Until next time, I will see you on the site.